Hi, Mark. We're back with another one of these laser sessions. And today we've got Stuart, who's going to be joining us. I know the last session that we did was really helpful for people. And again, Stuart is someone like Otto who has been through much of the course and has got that context and would like some coaching to kind of go beyond what he's heard so far.
Sounds good, Ankush.
All right. So I'm going to hop off and I will let you and Stuart get down to the coaching.
Well, okay, Stuart. Hi. Let's take a look at what you'd like to get some support for.
Yeah. So the things that I was thinking about were... I think the first thing that really came to my mind was that because of what I'd gone through in the past in terms of depression, stress, and a lot of other mental health issues, I wouldn't say I necessarily attract people who have the similar issues, but I would say that I'm kind of aware of those issues. And I think my hesitancy with touching on that is I'm not a trained doctor. I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. So I think I kind of have a hesitancy in engaging sometimes with people who themselves are suffering from depression. I had suicidal thoughts in the past. So that's something that kind of comes up as well. I kind of have a hesitancy in talking to those people, or at least being open, I think, to coaching those people, just mm-hmm. because of, I guess, the implications I'm scared of if I kind of get it wrong. And the other topic, or the kind of other thing that was I was kind of thinking of, or actually, there's two other things. Is one is kind of how do I help people slow down, and you know, I guess that comes out of stress, or it did for me, it has for me, you know, kind of comes out of people going quite quick, and I'd like to help them maybe slow down. Mm-hmm. So that was a kind of another area that I was quite interested in, because I mean, particularly not only because I can help other people, but it would also help me keep slowing down as well. And the last one, which I've totally just forgotten off the top of my head.
It's all right.
But yeah, those two are the key. Oh no, the last one was, I have a client, and I have two clients who are quite into caring what other people think about them, and you know, I would maybe like some kind of tips around how to kind of help them with that as well. I mean, I know what's helped me go deeper into the three P's with various coaches, including Ankush. But I guess a little bit of help on that would be interesting as well.
Wow. So there's really interesting topics there. I think I would like to... not address so much with coaching today around clients who come to you that are depressed or may have suicidal thoughts. I think, you know, in terms of coaching, you wanna have your sights towards someone who really is wanting to improve in terms of you know, their life, their living circumstances, their lives, you know. And I think, you know, it's really taking on a lot of responsibility when you have somebody who's seriously depressed. And in coaching, anyhow, for me, I always, if something like that comes up, I want people to be seeing a mental health professional as well as doing the coaching that I want to give. I think your experience with that can be very helpful to any of your clients. But again, you know, I don't think that's something to go it alone. The more serious it becomes with your clients, really. And it's kind of separate from coaching. And I think, you know, it always helps to make sure that people are able to find a mental health practitioner for kind of those issues when they're serious. Sometimes fear is telling us something. You know, we have this power of thought, and the power of thought might, through thought, we might be seeing something that isn't right for us. So I don't want that to bleed over to being insecure in coaching people. But again, you know, it might be your wisdom speaking to you that you either want clients that are focused beyond that, or you see the seriousness of that, and that takes some responsibility to be working in that arena. And so I always like to talk to people about also being involved with a mental health professional. So I'd like to leave that and go to the other two and see which one really speaks to you, your clients, or slowing down. I mean, did that make sense to you, what I just shared with you?
Yeah. It makes total sense. It does make total sense. I mean, for me, I kind of did it alone with Ankush, and no healthcare kind of professional for varying reasons, which I won't go into, but I think it does make perfect sense. And I think what I know about, I guess, the three principles and kind of beyond, that does make perfect sense for me. Kind of, there's something there. And what came back to me actually was kind of, I remember talking to Ankush in early on in an apprenticeship about kind of specific areas to focus in on. And I remember saying, I don't want to focus on necessarily on depression and stuff, because to me, it feels like, I don't know, I wanted to focus on relationships, which I feel like is kind of positive, like, so that, I mean, like that kind of, that does actually make total sense. And I think it aligns to kind of what I guess my wisdom is telling me, or you know, kind of what's going on.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so I think that's I think you've dealt with that in a few minutes, so that was quick.
I just think people at that state of mind take a lot of responsibility on a coach as well as a mental health professional. And you want to think if that's what your practice wants to be in. Like, you can do other ways to support people. Like, you can do a webinar or a teleseminar and share your insights that way. Mm-hmm. But I think when you get involved with coaching, you take on the responsibility of somebody who's at such a level that they have some serious thinking about whether to live or not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, I think it speaks to your wisdom in terms of what kind of coaching practice you want to develop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's go to one of those issues that might right now speak to you.
I think the one that kind of speaks to me the most is the slowing down one, I think, because for a couple of reasons, really, in that I can see myself being quite sped up occasionally. It's something that I've battled with in the past. But also, I think in helping others, clients, slow down, they can see for themselves their answers to a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, slowing down and going deeper into the three principles has kind of been a kind of a band-aid for everything, not a band-aid, but kind of like it covers everything.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of underpins a lot of coaching, slowing down.
Well, what does slowing down mean for you? What is it that comes to mind for you? What is slowing down?
I think one of Joe Bailey's books came to mind, and the title is Slowing Down to the Speed of Life. So for me in my life, it's kind of when I'm really rushed, because I had a lot of health issues as well, and with gut and the stress and the interaction.
Yeah.
So what happens for me is when I get mentally rushed, going quick, then my brain kind of gets fuzzy. So for me, it's actually a really good thing for me because it's an indicator. But it's just thinking too much. I think thinking too quickly, yeah, thinking too fast, trying to go at the speed of light, when maybe going the speed of life, kind of like enjoying life, being not physically slow, but kind of like mentally slow. I think that's kind of what it speaks to me.
And, you know, when you're like at a time when you're feeling rushed, does this wisdom you're sharing about slowing down come to you?
When I'm going quick, no. So for me, the kind of going slow is kind of where the magic lies.
Yeah. Do you remember about that at some point? About like slowing down, that, oh, wait a minute, I'm going too fast, I should slow down here.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Not, I mean, like in conversations, it's funny actually, because in conversations, I kind of slow down automatically at the start of the conversation. It kind of just happens. But it does. I kind of have that awareness. I kind of fall into that awareness that I'm going too quick. I definitely have that awareness that I do fall into that.
Well, that's good. I mean, I think the quieter we can be, that's how I see slowing down, is kind of like being quiet in our minds, right? The more we can be quieter, you're right, you know, we can listen to the guidance of wisdom. We can see what steps we need to take. And particularly in coaching, you want to be as quiet as you can be with your own personal thinking, right? Mm. What I was asking about is like, once you see this, and it seemed like you really do see you really do recognize the need to slow down, and that you are thinking too much. And for me, what I mean by this is that, you know, if I'm kind of in my thinking, I don't really see it, but then it occurs to me, oh my God, you know, I'm going a bit quick here, like you were saying. Mm. And then I can use that insight about slowing down. Is that how you experience it?
I'm not sure what you mean by use it, though.
Oh, well, like, you know, let's say I'm caught up in, it's not really being quick or rushed, but it could be, let's say I'm caught up in bother and I'm in it, right? Because once you create it, you're living in that reality. But then it occurs to me, you know, what I have learned and my understanding occurs to me, and it, and, you know, comes up like, oh man, your thinking's off, you know, or you need to look away from this, or you need to quiet down, you need to regroup, oh, your thinking's going south. Things like that occur to me from the fact that I understood that bother's just created from thought. Mm. So I was asking for you, what you see about slowing down, does that come to you where you can slow yourself down?
I think I kind of what kind of comes to me then is that I'm seeing I'm going too quick. And then I try and use it, but in a sense of, oh, you need to slow down. Kind of a bat to hit myself with, I think, rather than kind of going, oh. Because I think it's funny because like I was rushing a bit before the call, and I went for a walk to chill out and whatnot. And I plug in here, and I didn't even like realize it. I kind of just slowed down. And then when we started talking about it, I was like, oh yeah. So yeah,
So it looks like you know that's a good idea for you. And it looks like us talking in a way where, you know, you could just see that about yourself without having to force yourself to do that. Mm. Like when you went on the walk, did you feel rushed then?
It was a mix. Yeah, it was a mix. At the start, probably not. But then I guess as I was thinking, oh, I need to get back to the call, I started thinking, yeah, rush. And then I started thinking, oh, I need to slow it down.
So there you go. You see that. Okay. So really, I think you just saw the truth of what happens to all of us is that you started thinking. Mm. You said you're on the walk and then you started thinking. Mm. And then you started to think, oh, wait a minute, I'm rushed, but I better slow down for the call or whatever, you know? Mm. And it's really, at that point, it's really at the level of just getting caught up in thinking. But that's where it starts for all of us. We get to thinking. And it's really about seeing more that that's all that's happened with getting rushed is you started thinking again. And then you thought about your thinking. Does that make sense to you in any way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have been guilty of being a grade A overthinker. Yeah.
Well, that's all that is, you know, really, when they talk about those type A, you know, all that really is really describing the how much a person engages thinking, really, you know, how much they attend to all of the thinking that comes to their minds. But I think the piece for you is just to see that you moved away from one state of mind into a rush state of mind because you started thinking about yourself, you know, you just started to think.
Mm.
And that's really the key to see neutrally, not like you got to do anything about it, but you just want to get that a little deeper and not in trying to stop it, but just to know that that's where we all go off. That's where we all start to get ourselves into stress, rushed feelings, pressure, we just start thinking. But the other key to that is that we think about ourselves thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And in some way that we evaluate that.
Yeah.
So that's really the thing, right? That's the thing to see. Not really to do anything about it. It just takes us away from just having a nice feeling. You know, yes, buts do that a lot too. You know, I don't know if you have clients that might share that with you. You know, you're sharing something with them and they say, well, that sounds good, but you know, and it's another way for people to stay in their thinking innocently and not recognizing that they've engaged thinking. So what's coming to you as I've talked just then?
I think what comes to me, and I kind of just smirked because I said think, but what came to me was kind of funny that both of us, neither of us did anything for me to slow down. So I found that kind of interesting, that there's nothing necessarily to do. And conversely, with my clients, it's not necessarily anything. If they're going quick, there's not actually anything necessarily to do. I think what comes to me is just kind of how to elicit what you've said in a conversation with a client, in terms of, you know, how do I, I guess just to put it simply, just how do I explain what you've just said with a client?
But I want to know what came for you, you know, because the more you can see the truth of it, that, you know, we're all human, and one of the things that really takes us away from just being in a nice feeling into the feeling of stress is that we engage our thinking, you know, and just seeing that, that's it. Just seeing that we begin to pay attention to thinking. Now, we can't help ourselves, but we just want to begin to see that that's really what's taking us into the feelings of being rushed or pressure, the feeling of pressure, or the feeling of stress. For me, as I was first learning this understanding, I had this job in a medical center. And it wasn't until I started to see this more that I got curious about myself, because one day I'd go into the office and it was just this stressful day, and I was looking into the want ads for new jobs. The next day I was loving what I was doing, you know? And then Cindy Banks pointed out that, you know, I was just thinking too much, stressing me out about my job. I was engaging in a lot of thinking that was making the job look stressful. But given that, I still had to see that, you know? I had to really sit with the fact that my thinking was, I was engaging thinking that was creating the feeling of being rushed.
Yeah, it's funny because as you were talking, one of my cats was going off on one, and I was like, I got engaged with my thinking, but because what have you just said, it kind of just made it really simple. In that, me getting annoyed about my cat making a load of noise in the background, it's just me engaging with the thinking, with the thought. Mm-hmm. So then it kind of just brought me back. So that was quite interesting. And I think what also spoke to me when you were talking was, for example, back in the day, like 4 years ago, when I was having suicidal kind of thoughts and engaging with those, I didn't see that it was thought, and thinking or whatever. And now very rarely I kind of get one thought. If I'm, I don't know, annoyed or something, but I kind of just laugh it off because I've seen it in regards to suicidal thoughts.
Yes. Yes. So when you're talking about you've seen it, I want to just check with you. That's what I mean by it comes to you. You see it for what it is. You recognize what you're up to. That's what I mean by that. You've seen it. So you don't engage it. It doesn't have any impact on you. You once again see it that it's just thought. So that seeing it is what I'm talking about, that what you've understood so far comes to you. And you know how to handle certain qualities of thinking. Right?
Yeah.
I want this to, I want to make sure we're on the same page with this, because I really want you to see that this is the piece. It's that you've already, what you've already understood through your 4 years of learning is that when a thought comes up, you see it for what it is and you react to it differently.
Yeah, I think what's kind of coming to me at the moment is that when I have a suicidal thought, it comes to me, but it's very clear that that's just a thought.
Yeah.
And I can just go, pff. But what's coming to me is kind of, if I get the rushed thought or rushed thinking, it's not so clear. It's kind of fuzzy.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I can't, but I don't identify it for what it is clearly. Whereas I do for the suicidal thought, I kind of identify it for what it is and the fact that I don't have to engage with it. And quite often I just have a chuckle at myself. So yeah, I don't know, I'm quite visual, I think, in my imagination. So I'm kind of just imagining a very clean and crisp thought. whereas the rush is kind of fuzzy.
Well, I just think that because with the rush, you don't see it yet to how that's just thought as well, just another flavor, another learned way you've used your power to think. Innocently, we all learn ways. And so you just don't see it yet at a level where it looks purely as just a way of thinking, just a thought, like you do when you have a suicidal thought.
Mm.
You really have seen and thought to a level of understanding where that thought can't have impact on you. You see it.
Mm.
It's yet for you to see that what you're calling rushed is thought too.
Mm.
There's no difference. It just looks so, and it's got a different package around it. And so there's some quality that that keeps you from seeing it to the depth that you see your suicidal thoughts.
Mm. Yeah. It's funny, cause I was just thinking a second ago, it's quite funny. Cause like a year ago, comparing myself to a year ago, I was infinitely more rushed a year ago than I am today.
Well, what do you think has brought that about?
To be, always honest, but being forced to slow down because of being in my house for a year on my own, and because I've had physical health issues like the gut and stuff, me rushing has direct impact on me physically.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of been, I've kind of taken the mental slap to kind of slow down. But I think not just that, but it's also I've seen the benefits, and I see the benefits, and I continue to see the benefits of slowing down, not just because of my physical health, but also because of, it's just more fun, and I get a lot more done, actually, a lot more done in the day. So I think it's kind of just seeing that at a kind of like a deeper and deeper level. And the rushing is just it's not really beneficial to me.
Yes.
Yes. Continually seeing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. I would say that, you know, looking to what we're talking about today, that over the year, you've come to some way of thinking about slowing down, where it's easier for you to bring that about, to somehow not engage as much as your pressured thinking as you used to. And so you're able to share what you just shared with us, that you feel better and you can get a lot more accomplished, and you could see more and more the value of slowing your thinking down. Another way of saying that is not giving so much attention to your thinking. I just want to check out with you. I'm not sure if that all helped or was meaningful.
It feels like it's helped, and it feels like it's been meaningful. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's it's useful for 100% useful for me. Definitely, it feels like I've slowing down, and I can kind of appreciate that. Yeah, definitely, it's been useful.
The reason I asked was, and I may be off, so I'm just checking with you, is that you looked a little bit puzzled, like you were thinking about something, either application or something like that.
I was just thinking now, actually, sorry. I was just thinking now, oh, how do I then use that for clients?
So the reason I'm laughing with you is, again, you know, we can see our humanness and appreciate ourselves as human. That here we go again, you know, we're doing it again, you know. And just being able to have a laugh about it is already being able to appreciate we're seeing it at another level. We're not so serious about, oh, there I go again, you know. Well, kind of what you shared is where you want to come from when you are sharing this with clients. And but again, it's you, what you said. I really want to support what you said. You said something, you didn't say it exactly this way, but yeah, I see it now and I just need to see it more. You said something like that. I can see it here. I really appreciate it. All I have to do is I just have to see it more. And that's really the key, is just sit with the feeling of us talking, but also what occurred to you, and let that percolate rather than trying to do anything. Because you touched something, and the way you shared it with me, I know that you saw something about slowing down, and also that there's more to see in that area. So you stay open to that. You go lightly about it. Our clients tend to really want to go full bore on it. Oh, okay. Show me how to slow down, you know? Wait, I'm thinking too much. Oh yeah, I got something there. How do I keep this? You know, what you shared really made sense, but how do I start to live it? You know? So where we help our clients is to help them slow that down and help them see it's an understanding that takes place, not something intellectual. An understanding takes place. You see it more. And so you help them get more comfortable with just talking with you and you being curious about what they mean by it, and seeing that an understanding will take place. Not an intellectual knowing what to do, although that will come, you know, when they understand, oh my God, this is my thinking too. This is the way I use thought too. Once they see it like that, they'll get something from themselves about how to slow down or where to direct themselves. So our job is to help them appreciate it's an understanding. And the more we keep talking to them and listening to them and sharing with them what we've seen, there's a good chance an understanding will take place. What do you think of that?
I was kind of chuckling because as soon as you said what our clients try to do is pin it down and then try and nail it down to or nail it to the mast. I was slightly because that's kind of how I have been, and I know that I can be set my sights on something and then go for it. But it's not useful.
So that's beautiful though, because you're seeing it at a distance, some distance away from the way your clients are gripped by it. So you can use that, you know, you can use that you're human too. But you want to also give them what you've noticed. So I might tell a story for me, but then I'll also try to come back to, here's my point though. You know, so it's wonderful that you see how your tempted, your learned way has been to see something and then just go full bore at it.
Mm.
And that helps with you being able to appreciate what your clients are up against, but also help them trust what you have to share.
Mm. Yeah, I really like that actually, because it kind of resonates with me in terms of the calls that I've had where my clients had a particular issue where I've seen through it and I can really clearly see where they are. So I think it's really useful actually. And I think what I love about that, and this is something that Ankush does with me as well, is include that kind of personal stuff, include that personal story stuff where you were talking about, well, the stuff that I've talked about today. I think that really kind of, that resonates quite strongly with me, because I think, well, it's what attracted me to Ankush and what attracted me to the three Ps. And it's more relatable. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that may be your way to coach with the principles. Some people use metaphors. Some people are really good at metaphors, you know. Mm-hmm. But I seem to express my understanding through my own stories. And you, it seems like that will fit for you. And when you see what you see people from, you having understanding and you could see where they need some understanding, that's beautiful. And, you know, you can speak to that, offer that, and then you want to listen to see if they, what they've made from what you've just shared.
Mm. The question that just came to me was then, how do you do that? So do you tell a story and then kind of ask, I'm slightly smiling because you might have done this with me on this call, but said a story and then says, what are you getting from that? What's coming up?
Well, I did do that. But again, you know, if you notice something, you know, like you notice, oh my God, I can see where they're caught, or I could see how, where they get themselves into the feeling they're talking about. You can offer that. you know, and any way that you can. I usually ask for permission to share something that I've observed and then share it and then tell them how they might look at it, right, from what you see, and then see what they heard. That will guide you, you know.
Mm.
But I did do that with you. I talked to you a bit about myself at one point and then asked you, you know, what you thought about that or if it made sense.
Mm. Mm.
We're covering a lot, and we went over to the coaching side here, and there's a lot to what I just shared with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, as you've gone through the course, you've probably heard that talk to. I just want to come back to make sure you're okay with what we talked about around the being rushed and slowing down.
Yeah, I think so. I think kind of what comes to me is, I don't see it as clearly as I see the suicidal thought. But and I'm laughing at myself for not, for rushing my learning of rushing, which is kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I think because the deeper that I see that, obviously it will inherently benefit me, but it means then that it will benefit people I talk to because it will become clearer to me.
That's right.
I think.
That's right. So I love that you just saw how you are rushing your learning about this too, you know, that could really fit into the same, same thought system, huh? The thought system of continuing to attend to my thinking. So it's just great that you see this stuff because it comes back to you. You'll notice it again. Oh my God, you know, I'm really pushing here to get this point. And really, your chances of really gaining an insight will be better if you can just let it alone and let it percolate.
Yeah.
Than it is, you know, trying to rush to learning. I did that the same thing, you know, like, oh my goodness, you know, I was just learning some things. I was getting excited, you know, in these early days, and I wanted to see something about myself and it wasn't coming along. You know, I wasn't seeing it any better. And I kept saying, when am I going to see this? You know, but I was unable to get anything because I was rushing to try to learn rather than let the wisdom come in its own pace. You know, in this formless energy, this spiritual energy we're a part of, time doesn't exist. So it's only in our thinking that we should know something right now that we're trying to understand, you know. And so it's just beautiful that you saw it and caught yourself doing the same thing with this kind of learning process, which is different. This learning process is through realization, you know, it's understanding, it's insight. And so you just settle in, know that you've seen some things and keep an eye on it.
Yes. Yeah. It's funny because I can see in all, not just in the learning, but kind of just in all aspects of my life, like rushing is prevalent in everything, like work, coaching. Funny enough, not in actual conversations, I seem to slow down. But yeah, like everything, relationships, everything. It is funny when you start seeing it in every aspect of your life.
Yeah. Well, that'll take care of you, honestly.
Mm.
Just seeing how pervasive it is already a shift that you can see it the way that you're sharing it with me. And that'll teach you. You'll start to see things. And as long as you don't rush yourself to get better in those areas, just that you know you can see it across the board, you're going to wake up. Oh, man, look what I'm doing. And that's going to take care of you. You're going to see more and more. Stay open to that. I don't know if you know Keith Blevins, but we used to teach a lot together, and he would tell people about this process that you'll wake up to it. You'll see yourself doing it. He said, do you see this indentation in my forehead? It's from going, oh no, there I go again. You know? So he was just trying to share appreciation for starting to see that you do a habit, a thought in your life across the board. And just seeing that starts to shift us. So I think it's beautiful that you were able to share that. And the key is to go opposite. Rather than try to force the learning, is to go soft and just trust that there's a wisdom at work to help you see more about this.
Yeah. It's kind of funny as you're talking, I kind of saw that a lot of the things in my in the last 4 years that have dropped for me, and they've dropped quite quickly, to be honest, I haven't necessarily forced anything. And one of the things that comes to my mind was judging my mum. I used to judge her a lot for various things, but I kind of realized at Christmas that I hadn't judged her in a while. I was like, oh, okay. And I didn't do anything. I kind of know why I dropped judgment of myself, but I didn't like go at it.
Yeah,
I didn't go at it. And I'm hesitating slightly because I know that relationships have been a massive issue for me in the last year. I did really go for it, and I solved it. We're talking with Rohini, but yeah, I can. What I love is the habit. Just identifying it as a habit, because habits you can stop.
Yeah, you can transcend them.
Mm.
It's just conditioning. Conditioning is just a learning process. So it just learned thoughts. And you go soft about it. But, you know, that doesn't mean you couldn't go at something and try to get better at it and get some support for it. But again, with what you're seeing, you want to go softer rather than pushing yourself. And the understanding takes place just like it did for you. All of a sudden you see, oh my God, I'm not doing that. Rather than, oh, what's my next strategy? Let me make some more affirmations this morning. You know, in front of the mirror, I'll make affirmations. So this is a whole different process that comes through understanding. You don't even know you change, and then all of a sudden it pops in your mind, oh man, I'm not doing that anymore. Or they don't matter as much anymore. So well, let's stop here. And it was just great talking with you, and you really are onto it. So I'm glad we had this opportunity to do a coaching session.
Yeah, I found it really useful. It was really useful, actually, because it's funny, because I kind of sensed that the rushing thing would be the conversation earlier on. But yeah, it's the final thing was that it kind of reminded me of going slow is kind of not going down the dark alleyway and just having the blinkers on. You've got access to everything once you slow down.
Yeah.
And my mentor is Chip Chipman, and he kind of talks to me about big picture. And it's like, once you slow down, you have more awareness of the big picture.
Yeah.
And when you speed up, you're going down the motorway at 90 miles an hour, you can't see the exit.
Yeah. Great image. That's really true. It's really magical that, you know, I call them your powers of perception increase. So you have a wider field of perception. Same thing, same visual. And it's true. Yeah. And the other piece is, you're human, so you never really get rid of putting blinders on, but it's less and far between. But the other thing we were talking about at the beginning is you'll see what you're up to. Oh my God, this just really narrowed down. I must have put my blinders on. So that's the other beautiful piece about deepening understanding, seeing it more, is that it comes to you much sooner what you're up to. Okay, well, great, Stuart. We'll finish here then.
Hey, Mark, that was a great session that you had with Stuart. And, you know, a few things kind of came out for me, and I'd love to hear how that was for you and maybe what your reflections are on it. But what I saw was that Stuart turned up and he had all these things that he wanted to be coached on. And I was thinking, wow, that's a lot to cover in the time. And yet you kind of really slow down, and I kind of wrote it down. It was like, you kind of answered the first thing about, well, coaching is really about focusing on people who want kind of help in the future. And, you know, coaching is different to mental health problems. And then you suggested about focusing on slowing down, but you didn't do it the whole coaching session wasn't, and maybe this is the wrong word, but it wasn't aggressive. It was, it was very gentle and in line with, you know, what Stuart wanted. There was the feeling between you, the rapport that we've been talking about, seemed to be there for the entire conversation. And one thing I really love about what you do is you seem to go further than I think, you know, almost anyone else that I know in getting really clear on the question. So I wrote this down. You went, what is slowing down for you? And, you know, that could easily, I could see myself just kind of maybe brushing past that. And, you know, you really get clear on what it is. And then throughout the conversation, even though you went for examples and you talked about pointing Stuart back, like when he was going for a walk and what his experience was, you kept checking in with him. Is this making sense? There was one moment when he said, yeah, it did, but you were still, hey, your face is, you know, you thinking about something else. and you kept going back with that. And as we saw, it was very, very helpful for Stuart, and you covered so much. So I got so much out of that. Just wondered what your thoughts are on it.
Well, that's beautiful. We could talk there. So first, I wanted Stuart talking about coaching people depressed with suicidal thoughts. I really wanted to emphasize that takes a lot of responsibility when somebody's that seriously depressed. And that really, to me, you know, coaches do coach. There are coaches that coach anxiety. There are coaches that have coaching programs for addiction. So I didn't want to dismiss somebody who wanted to coach at that level, but I really wanted to see that you can have freedom to make to define it as needing mental health therapist work compared to coaching work, where you could actually begin to focus on strengths and positivity, but also to help Stuart see the reality that that may not be what you wanted to focus on. Because it does require a lot. I mean, you take on a lot of responsibility there. So you can decide not to. The other thing, though, I wanted to emphasize was that his experience in making change there can be helpful in other ways. He can, if he wanted to, he could do other things to speak to the issue of depression. That's what I was there. I just wanted to briefly speak to that. And then I didn't know where we were going. And I was just listening with Stuart to really just kind of get a feel for what might be the most valuable thing. And then when Stuart started to talk about slowing down, here's the piece that I've talked about through our course. I didn't know what that meant. Really, how could you? So I don't mean this facetiously or critically, but look at it. Honestly, how could you speak to slowing down if you don't know what your client means? I have ideas, but I really didn't get a feeling for Stuart when he said that. I had thoughts about what slowing down could mean, you see? So in my vernacular, I had to go find Stuart, and I had to get out of my own thinking of what he meant and go unknown, not knowing, going not knowing to Stuart and say, Stuart, what do you mean? What does this mean for you? Once I heard something of what it meant for him, I could see then how I might say things, what I could be helpful with. And as we were going along, I was still trying to get clarity with Stuart through the first part of our meeting. And it was really helpful how Stuart was so open, you know, and talking about it. And even that piece about seeing it, you know, I forgot what I used as a word for that. I spent a lot of time with Stuart to really hear how I could share that with him so he knew what I meant. But anyhow, the piece, why I asked about slowing down is because really, if you look at it, did you know, not you, Ankush, but did anyone know what Stuart as a human being meant by slowing down? I had thoughts about what he meant. I could teach to my thoughts. But then I'm not connected to Stuart. I'm not letting what I hear him mean connect to me so that I can be guided to help him with what he really was looking at there. The other piece is I'm always checking in because, again, you know, you're speaking as best as you can from what you think has come to you about what might be helpful. But you always want to be able to modify that by what you hear from your client. So you could keep on talking from what you think has come to you about being helpful, and you can get farther and farther away from what's meaningful for your client. So I check in a lot. And that helps direct me. And it helps, again, that both Stuart and I are really on the road together in terms of discovery. So I want to get what I'm going to share close to him, you know, close to what would be helpful for him, not what I think would be helpful. So that's why I check in. The third piece you shared is what I talk about sharing what you observed. There was a moment there when I shared, and I don't know if Stuart was sharing or I shared, but it looked like he was puzzled. And I kind of went past it a bit, but it was still nagging at me that he looked like he was thinking there or puzzled by something I shared. So I went back to it and shared what I observed, and it became very rich. Stuart was really into something, and as we looked at that, wow, you know, we were able to even discover more. So those are the three facets of that session that you pointed out, Ankush.
Yeah, no, really great. And a couple of things that just occurred to me is, you know, in terms of the mental health piece, I don't set out to coach people around mental health. And yet when we focus on the positives and we actually, you know, do what, you know, traditional coaching is, helping people create a different future from this understanding, that often mental health improves, you know, without us even focusing on that. So I just wanted to kind of state that. But you're right, if there's someone who has some serious concerns, and I'm not sure if I'm qualified to handle that, I will refer them to someone else who is.
The other piece is not only that, but is that what you want in your coaching practice? I've decided not to have anything like that anymore in my work. And so that's the other piece. Is not only qualified, but do you want to be working at that level in your coaching practice? And it's okay either way, really.
Yeah.
But that's the other question to ask yourself.
No, that's a really, really great point. And I remember a coach saying to me that she loves working with clients who are really difficult. And I was like, oh my God, that's the exact opposite of me.
Yeah.
And both are okay.
Yeah.
And the checking in piece, I love that because I do that a lot. And I know there are some coaching schools or some methodologies that say you shouldn't ask the client, you know, it looks like you're not the expert, but I think it's so good, you know, to get on the same page with clients. So I love that you do that. Thank you for modeling it. This was another great session, and I really hope people get a lot out of this. And I think there is a comment functionality on this program. So, you know, we'd love to hear from you what you took from these sessions.